Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend in the sunshine in Kent. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, June the 23rd. Coming up, two parts of Kent are named trailblazing neighbourhoods. A new Reform UK councillor says we'll be blown away by what the Doge team has uncovered at County Hall. And pupils move into a new multi-million pound facility near Sittingbourne. But first, on today's episode, a couple say their new build home in Kent is still suffering from flooding issues 8 years after they moved in. Reporter Millie Bowles has been covering this story and joins me now. Millie, thanks ever so much for being on the episode. Firstly, can you just explain where the house is?
Hi, Nicola. So the house is in a Barrett's Homes development in Aylsham called Aylsham Village. And it's on the edge of the development, just at the bottom of a sort of very slight slope.
And when did the problem start?
So flooding's not the only problem they've had at the house. They bought it in 2017, and when they moved in, the windows had been smashed by like youths. And unfortunately, it took Barrett's 8 months to fix the windows at the house. And then at the end of 2019, they had sewage start coming up through the drains in the bathroom, like out in the sink, in the bath, which took a long time for them to, you know, clear up and obviously smelt horrible. And then the issues with flooding started sort of every time there was heavy rain once the rest of the estate had been built.
Millie, what was the most recent issue and what have the homeowners said now?
So the most recent issue was with the storm last Friday. It hit Dover town centre quite badly and a lot of houses flooded there. But in the development, this couple's home was the only one which flooded, and the drains just burst and sent water pouring into the front of their house and then, you know, through the door and flooded their hallway and their kitchen and their bathroom. They've actually had to put in pool grade ceramic tiles. So that has protected the floor a bit because, you know, they've got used to this. This has happened so many times over the years. And after this most recent one, they've just said they're at their end of their tether. They can't cope with it anymore. You know, they worry every time it rains. And yeah, they've just had enough.
And finally, what response have you had from the company that built it?
So we contacted Barrett Homes, which built the estate. And William Walsh, the managing director of Barrett David Wilson, told us that they were aware of the concerns regarding the drainage and this house in particular, and that they believe the drainage systems were, you know, overwhelmed by this rainfall. But what they are going to do after, you know, being us getting in touch with them is they're going to undertake a comprehensive survey of the sewage and drainage system at the development.
Millie, thank you ever so much. And you can head to Kent Online to read Millie's story in full.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. And a Kent police inspector has been dismissed from the force after being found guilty of assaulting a woman. James Buttridge from The Green in Bearsted was suspended from duty following the attack at a property in Maidstone in September 2023. The 49-year-old was charged with assault by beating. He was ordered to complete 100 hours of unpaid work and fined £650. Figures seen by Kent Online show a sharp rise in the number of attacks by pupils on school staff in Kent. There were 300 reports in the last academic year, up from 140 2 years earlier. The National Education Union is blaming cuts to youth services. The County Council say they're committed to meeting the needs of vulnerable young people. Now, residents in Broadstairs say they're disgusted by the state of their seafront after thousands of people flocked to the coast on the hottest day of the year. Pictures showing smashed glass, plastic bottles and drinks cans were posted on Saturday night, with volunteers seen cleaning up. It comes as a dispersal order in the area has been extended. We can see the photos by clicking on the Thanet pages of Kent Online. We'll also have more reaction to this story in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. Housing estates in Maidstone could receive funding for upgrades after being selected for a trailblazing neighbourhood scheme. Seneca and Parkwood will receive £20 million over the next 10 years as part of community-led renewal efforts. Now, it's hoped the money will support improvements that people can see on their doorstep. We've been getting reaction from Councillor Malcolm McKay, who represents Seneca.
Obviously, I'm delighted that Seneca, the area for which I'm a councillor in Maidstone, has been selected for a government grant. I hope very much that the community is involved in the spending of this money and has a say in how it was spent. To be honest with you, the notification came as quite a surprise to me. I wasn't expecting it. I don't think anybody was, but delighted we are. I'm talking on behalf of the residents of Senaker, hope that it will be spent wisely in Senaker and help social cohesion. One of the aspects of Senaker is that we don't have any sort of community centre. But good luck to Senaker. I hope very much we can work together and build a better community.
Kent Online reports.
Next up today, and one of Kent's new Reform UK councillors has told us we'll be blown away by what a Doge team have uncovered at County Hall. A team was sent in to examine the finances at the County Council after the party swept to victory at the local elections in May. It's a similar thing to what happened in America, actually, when Donald Trump was elected as president for a second time. Well, Maxwell Harrison represents Sheppey and is the new deputy cabinet member for communications and engagement. He's been speaking to local Democracy reporter Robert Boddy on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
I know a lot of people are saying that, you know, Doge is in, but we've already had the auditors, you can go online. This is about a new fresh pair of eyes looking at actually how this thing run. I'm not saying that we're going to get a chainsaw and cut this thing apart, but we were elected on the 1st of May. Overwhelmingly, you know, from this time last year, we had 12 months ago, we now have 56 Kent County councillors. So we got a big part to play. We want to make sure that, you know, Kent residents are getting value for money and they want fresh eyes. You know, things may be perfect, things may not be perfect. The point of Doge, I understand its criticisms about Elon Musk, etc., in America. But over here, what it wants to do is make sure that councils run effectively and efficiently, which they haven't done for many, many years and decades now.
My understanding is that the Doge team with Zia Youssef and others is that they're going to go through all the books and look through everything, and then will present what they think possibly could be reduced or cut or whatever to Lyndon Kemp, Karen and your fellow councillors for you to decide what to actually do. Is that a right estimation of what?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we have got our own cabinet member, Matthew Fraser-Moat, who is our sort of our Doge cabinet member. Him and his team going through all the contracts inside of Kent County Council, looking at all the financial aspects. And as you'll see online, Zia is doing a heck of a lot of commentary about Kent County Council, about things that may or may not be going on in that building. So we're doing two attack lines, really. We've got head office in London with Zia at the helm, bringing in some heavy artillery in experts in finance, in data. And we're using our own skills and talents in our ranks in Reform UK locally. So we've got two lines of attack, and we're going to meet in the middle. And in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to blow you away. Let me tell you that.
What do you mean? What sort of things are you finding so far?
Let's see. But I guarantee you, in a couple of weeks' time, there's going to be a big announcement in Kent, and we are going to expose everything that's been going on in that place.
I mean, how is it going so far? Because obviously it was well documented a couple of weeks ago that Zia Youssef and Nathaniel Fried left Reform and Doge and stepped back, and they came back a couple of days later. Was that sort of a bit embarrassing that this sort of internal fighting was sort of taking the headlines?
No, I don't think it's internal and fighting at all. This guy has been working unpaid for months upon months. When I stood in a general election last year, there was no infrastructure, none. You know, I was out leafleting the first couple of days by myself, thousands of leaflets, which I had to design myself completely alone. We now have all these branches. We have 18 out of 18 in Kent and over 400 across the country. You know, we have built up an empire and a structure wherein we are now winning by-elections up and down the country. That couldn't have happened without Zia Youssef. So he has been integral to this party. He hasn't had a holiday. He hasn't had a break. He had made an intemperate comment, which we can all do, particularly when, you know, in politics, you know, as we all know, it's very, very high-pressured. And he made a mistake. He regretted it. And, of course, we welcomed him back because he is a talented individual. We've got a massive part to play in public service in this country. So, no, it wasn't infighting. It wasn't embarrassing. When I saw the announcement, I sort of knew he would be back in some form. Now he's not chairman. He's focusing all his efforts on Doge. I look forward to working with him in the coming weeks, months and years ahead.
And we'll bring you details of whatever that announcement is by Reform UK early next month. Plus, you can hear that episode in full at im-listening.co.uk or by heading to the podcast pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
It looks like major delays to house building in East Kent could finally be about to ease. Concerns about the pollution of Stodmarsh Nature Reserve near Canterbury has seen many projects stall in recent years. Well, a new scheme's been set up allowing developers to buy what are called nutrient credits, which will be used to mitigate the environmental impact. It's led to the approval of 20 new affordable homes in part of Ashford. Elsewhere, the next phase of a £60 million regeneration project is due to get underway in part of Maidstone. More than 100 new homes are already being built in Shepway. Now, developers have signed a contract to demolish properties on Cambridge Crescent to make way for more social housing. Leader of Maidstone Borough Council is Stuart Jeffrey. He says the previous homes needed replacing.
They were in a pretty poor state. There was a lot of antisocial behaviour and a lot of space that was frankly just grassland. So we've been invited here because of the regeneration project that's going on. Hundreds of new homes in a much better build quality and a much better configuration to build community, to root out that antisocial behaviour and to provide those absolutely much needed homes. And it's wonderful to see how rapidly it's all progressing.
Lucy Alder is a regeneration coordinator with Golding Homes. She's been helping the former residents to relocate.
Phase two was a really empowering experience for me. There was a lot of learnings made from the phase one decant. Phase two, I knew I needed to get more of my colleagues at Golding involved. We had some really good team members that supported with their removals, getting them all set up, home visits, just making sure that when they moved, it was the most streamlined process as possible. Moving is a really stressful time for anyone. And for us, it's not just you've got to move out of your home. It's much more than that. They made loads of memories. There's loads of history attached to these buildings. So when we moved them, it was important that I supported them the whole way through. And when they did move, it wasn't stressful for them when they moved in, so I could take as much of that away as possible.
Construction work on phase one of this huge project is well underway now, and our reporter Ellie Hodgson has been chatting to Danny Pruitt from Skillcrown Homes.
Very early on in the project, we established to minimise the programme impact was to bring everything up at once. So we're currently at level two across all six blocks of flats, working our way towards level three. Over on the front section, which is the 28 houses and block L, we've only have one more floor to go on there, but the houses, the roofs are going on now. In about 4 weeks' time, we'll sort of be watertight in the houses and the internal works will be fully underway. In the main blocks, again, internal M&E has commenced, but obviously we'll be waiting to put the roofs on before we can really get started with any finishes.
What's happening in phase two at the moment?
Phase two, so we've just finished all the enabling work, so our site is set up, we have our temporary power in place, surveys are ongoing, we're just getting ready for the asbestos removals planned for the next week or two, and then once we've removed anything hazardous, it'll be demolition will be well underway.
Ellie's also spoken to local councillor Simon Wales.
I think it's quite amazing to see what's been achieved. This is my third visit here. I came here at the start of phase one, and to see then later on how phase one was progressing. When it was just three rows of bricks and now the houses are almost completely out of the ground. And now on phase two, and they're moving across to the mirror image of phase one. And their progress, it's really great to see how much progress they've made in creating a new community for people to live in.
Obviously you're local to the area. Is it really important to stress these are local homes for local people?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I live just three or four streets over in that direction. I come here for my dentist, I come here for my vets, for my cats, that are all vested in this area. But it really is important to stress that the homes are all for Maidstone residents, they're people on Maidstone's waiting list. We have far too many on our waiting list, which is why we're building properties elsewhere, keeping them actually in the Maidstone property holdings, which is run and bought and maintained by the council. So for local homes, for local people. And that's really important. That's what it's all about, because it's the community who were here, having been decanted, a lot of them will come back and start making progress in creating a new community.
And you can see pictures of the development within the story at Kent Online. Just click on the Maidstone pages. Meantime, abandoned buildings in part of Ashford are set to be demolished to make way also for social housing. The Kent Wool Growers facility in Tannery Lane closed in 2017. The Borough Council bought the site 2 years ago. It also wants to convert the nearby Civic Centre into more homes. And work's due to start this week on the renovation of an underpass in Dover. The section of Townwall Street that runs under the A20 is going to be resurfaced and repainted. It's part of a multi-million pound redevelopment of the Dover Beacon project, aiming to better connect the town centre and the waterfront.
Kent Online News.
Around £100,000 has been secured to improve the safety of one of the county's so-called most dangerous junctions, amid fears more people could be killed there. Kent County Council's receiving funding from the government to design a scheme for Shorn Crossroads near Gravesend. Last year, a petition with 1,200 signatures called for a lower speed limit, better warning signs and pedestrian crossings after an elderly man was killed following a crash. Drivers are going to face a diversion to get onto part of the M20 next month. Hythe Road in Ashford will be closed for 8 weeks as works carried out by UK Power Networks. It means residents in Highfield who want to get onto the motorway at Junction 10 will have to go along Boys Hall Road and through Ashford Orbital Park before using the A2070 to access the carriageway. Now, bosses in Maidstone have decided it'll be too expensive to buy a drone to try and catch off-road bikers. They already use one to target fly tippers, but have revealed the cost for another could be as much as £37,500. It's also been suggested pursuing a nuisance rider with one of the devices could cause an accident. A terminally ill Rochester woman has had her tongue rebuilt after a sore in her mouth turned out to be cancer. Emma Byron was first diagnosed in 2023 before the disease returned the following year. She's now decided to do a 200-metre high zip line above Lake Bled in Slovenia. It'll raise money for the Queen Victoria Head and Neck Unit and Maidstone Oncology, who've cared for her. Well, Emma's been speaking to our reporter, Charlotte Phillips.
The surgery was removal of lymph nodes. Mm-hmm. 40% of my tongue was removed.
Right.
Part of my jaw was removed and replaced with a titanium jaw.
Right.
My tongue was replaced by some of my arm. Yeah, so it was really invasive surgery. So there was no reason why the cancer would have come back, but it's just very aggressive. Head and neck cancer is very, very aggressive.
Yeah, so what are your next kind of steps for treatment?
Well, I've had chemotherapy, mm-hmm. and the chemotherapy worked very effectively. So it's now clear from my lymph nodes in my lungs, mm-hmm. which is amazing.
Yeah.
And from most of my neck. I've got a small tumour in my neck, mm-hmm. and I've still got a tumour in my leg. And I had radiotherapy on my neck.
Right.
So now I'm on a maintenance treatment, mm-hmm. which will continue until it stops working, and then it will be immunotherapy until that stops working, and then it will be a chemotherapy agent until that stops working, and then it will be trials.
Right. Okay. And when are you doing the zip line? Why did you decide that that was something that you wanted to do?
Well, because I can't, you know, I can't run a marathon or anything, and my energy levels are quite low. I wanted to, it wasn't even a conscious thing, if I'm really honest about it. So I wanted to go away. I've always wanted to go to Lake Bled in Slovenia. It looks beautiful. And so I booked it and I thought, well, what is there to do in Slovenia? I had a look and there was a zip wire. And I thought, I've never done anything like that before. Yeah. And I was sort of telling someone about it, and they said, well, why don't you do it as a fundraiser? And I said, oh, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that is that a bit of a cop-out, you know, because, you know, I'm not physically putting myself through a massive challenge. I mean, obviously, the challenge is the height and
of course,
the fact that you're dangling from a piece of string. But, you know, not everyone would see it that way, sort of thing. And they were like, no, you know, it is a challenging thing because it is quite high. And, you know, so I'm raising the money for Maidstone Oncology.
Right.
And for the Queen Victoria Head and Neck unit. Okay. So they also have a charity associated with the Queen Victoria. So it's for those two hospitals.
Kent Online reports.
Students have moved into a multi-million pound building aimed at doubling the intake of Tenham Primary School. Plans for the expansion of the site near Sittingbourne were submitted in 2023 and work began last spring. Well, Elizabeth Pearson is the head teacher. She's been speaking to reporter Cara Simmons.
Just the fact that we've got 205 pupils and they have settled in. I walked around on the first morning on the Tuesday, just gone 9 o'clock in the morning, and the reception class didn't even notice I was there. They were absolutely absorbed in the environment. All week I've had children coming up to me telling me how fabulous it is, how much they love it. There's space, there's air, and they are so, so settled that it is already, I mean, it feels like we've been here for a long while already. I mean, it's just been better than I could have ever expected.
I understand some pupils got to see it before it officially got opened. Can you tell me a bit more about that and what their reactions were like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've kept the children involved right from day one. And because we are only 5 metres or so away from the old building, we had little windows built into the hoardings. That's what you call it, isn't it? Hoardings. So the children could actually see the works that were going on. So right from the very beginning of when they started to put down the first layer, they could see it every single day. They could see all the construction equipment coming on. We had a couple of the project managers kept coming in and giving us updates for the children. And then eventually we organised for all of our Key Stage two children to dress up in PPE and they all went on site. So they saw it whilst it was a building site, but they got that opportunity to see the inner workings of the school. So they could look up before the ceilings were put in and see where all the mechanics are, all the pipe work is, which they found fascinating because you don't see those parts of it. I mean, in addition to that, we've had WW Martin came in and run some workshops with us, with our younger children, about site safety, about the sorts of things they might like to do when they grow up to go into involved in the building trade. They've seen lots of apprentices and different people like that on site. They've also seen a good mixture of men and women because we've had some women electricians in, we've had women plumbers in, and that's great role models for some of our younger children who think, okay, builders don't just have to be men. They could be anybody, anyone can be it. And then actually they've been helping with the packing and organising and kind of that excitement and building up. And we did put a time capsule in a few weeks ago, which is buried under the playground. Every class contributed. So there were things in there like what it's like to be a child today, their hopes and dreams for the future, what they really enjoy about the local community. So that's all gone into a time capsule. And we believe there's a time capsule in the old building that we're hoping to uncover when that's demolished.
It's hoped the new teaching block will allow student numbers to increase from 210 to 420 by 2031. Events are being held in Kent to mark the start of Armed Forces Week. A flag will be raised at the Sandwich Guildhall this morning as part of efforts to show appreciation for all of our servicemen and women. Dover Castle and Chatham's historic dockyard are also hosting community celebrations on Saturday. A rare Tudor portrait has been unveiled at Hever Castle near Edenbridge. The painting is of William Carey, who was husband of Mary Boleyn. Visitors will be able to see it on display alongside his wife's portrait in the Great Chambers. And a large pod of dolphins has been spotted swimming off the coast of Folkestone. Video at Kent Online shows them surfacing in the water on Saturday. It was filmed by a fisherman who described it as a great experience.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first up, and Kent's Zach Crawley only managed 4 runs for England after opening the batting in the first test against India. The home side made 465 in response to the tourists, 471 in their first go with a bat. Play is continuing today at Headingley. Elsewhere, Kent are in action in the county championship. They've travelled to take on Lancashire. Kent finished the first day on 213 for 3. On to rugby now, and Kent's Alex Mitchell and Ben Earl have arrived in Australia for a tour with the British and Irish Lions. It follows their defeat to Argentina in Dublin on Friday night. They'll play 5 more warm-up games before 3 tests against the Wallabies. Staying with rugby, and Kent have won the Bill Beaumont County Championship title for a third successive year. They beat Yorkshire 39-32 at Twickenham over the weekend. Football now, and it's been confirmed neither of the clubs involved in an abandoned cup final game in Kent will face any charges. The match between Clapton CFC and Hamlet Reserves at the Gallagher in Maidstone was stopped after 20 minutes when Palestine flags were spotted in the crowd. But the sides refused to continue behind closed doors. The London FA say there'll be no further action. And the Gillingham manager says he wants senior players to step up and help youngsters in the squad next season. Gareth Ainsworth has highlighted strong leaders, including Glenn Morris, Johnny Williams and Bradley Dack. The team will report back for training later this week. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.